Say, I really do appreciate being here this morning. I really appreciate Robbie's positive message. You know, it's not like that everywhere I go. Not too long ago, I was in Upper State New York, and this was a while ago, and the president of the company gets up before I'm scheduled to start at 9 o'clock, and he said, Bob, would you mind waiting until 10 o'clock to start? And I said, no, that's no problem. He said, would you mind waiting out in the hallway? And I said, no, you know, company business, I can appreciate that. So I go out in the hallway, and the president gets up, and I mean, he literally chews everybody out. VP of sales gets up, and he literally chews everybody out. Then each one of the buyers get up, and they go through their categories and say, we got dead items in here, things aren't going well. And then the credit manager gets up, and I don't need to tell you what she said. And I'm out in the hallway, and I can't help but hear what's going on. And after a whole hour of this, they come out and get me. And they said, Bob, your job is to go in there and pump everybody up. But here's the sad part about that story is that they are no longer here. They closed their doors. They went out of business. And why did they close their doors? Why did they go out of business? They did because they focused on the wrong thing. They focused on everything that was going wrong with their company. And if you predict something long enough, it's going to happen. And so if by some small change, some small improvement, all we would do is we would say, okay, let's not focus on what's wrong. Let's focus on what's good. Now, talking about change, you know, change is something that you've had a tremendous amount of change. There's no question about it. You're always trying to get your customers to change. And getting people to change is really difficult. Give you an example of this. At one time in my life, I had a meat company. And when I first bought this meat company, it was kind of ready to go out of business. I thought I could turn it around, and fortunately, I found something that saved me. But I had a guy in the meat room. His name was Harold, and Harold had been there for 30 years. He came with the company when I bought it, and even though I owned the company, he still owned the meat room, if you know what I mean. That was his turf back there, and you didn't do anything, but he was a valuable employee, so I really needed to hang on to him. So I was going to become federally inspected. Now, to do that, I had to have the inspector come in, and I knew that the inspector and Harold were going to butt heads. And I put off telling Harold. So wouldn't you know it, I'm out to lunch, and in comes the inspector. He walks right back into the meat room. He has his white hat on and his hard hat, his white coat, and he goes right into the cooler. He starts looking around. Well, Harold saw him come in there. He walks in there and says, what do you think you're doing in my cooler? Well, the inspector, he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out a card, and he says, see that card right there? That card says that I'm the USDA inspector. That card says that I can come in here any time, and I'm going to be coming in here a lot and watching what you're doing. Well, Harold gets mad. He just walks back over to the cutting block and continues working. The inspector is walking around. He walks out back. Now, we had a holding pen out there where we would hold the animals before we slaughtered them. Now, we're going to do away with that because we didn't want to slaughter, so we were taking it down. We had a ladder out there. We were taking the roof down, but people were still dropping their animals off. We had somebody pick them up and then bring them back slaughtered. Well, the inspector goes out and the door clicks behind him, and he didn't notice that there's a 400-pound hog over here in the corner that we're going to make into sausage the next day. Well, the inspector and that hog made eye contact. There was no place for the inspector to go except up on that ladder. So he sat up on the top of the ladder with that hog nipping at his heels, and he's hollering to Harold. And Harold finally hears him. He comes out, he opens up the door, and he sees the inspector on the ladder and that big hog down below, and he says to the inspector, show him your card. Now, needless to say, it took a long time to get inspected. However, Harold did not want to make any changes. I knew we had to change, but he wouldn't make any changes. And then one time, by accident, I brought him in the office, and I said, Harold, let's not look at these as changes. Let's look at them as improvements. And you know, that one little thing made all the difference with Harold. I said, Harold, you do want to improve, don't you? You do want our operation to improve, don't you? Well, these aren't just changes that we're making. These are improvements to make us better. And you know, if you take the word change out of your vocabulary when you're talking to your customers, even when you're presenting your new logo, when you're presenting new products, when you're presenting anything, I'm not trying just to get you changed from one vendor to another. I'm talking about helping you make some improvements. And everybody wants to improve. And it's so much easier for them to digest an improvement than it is to digest a change. So think about that when you're getting people to do something. If you want to test this out, go home, especially when you guys go home to your wife and say, honey, we're making some changes around here. See how far you get. But if you go home and say, honey, we're going to make some improvements, Well, okay, good. Let's start with you. But it's easier to sell an improvement than it is a change. So that you know, that's kind of number one. Another thing, too, is you're going to be getting a lot of follow-up email from me. I'm going to send it to Todd, and Todd's going to forward it to you. And it's called a meat eater course. Meat eater, here's what a meat eater is. There's two kinds of animals in the jungle, just like there's two kinds of salespeople out on the street. There's hunters and there's scavengers. Now, the hunters, I use the term meat eater. A meat eater is a person that goes out and makes the kill. The scavengers are the little animals that come in afterwards and live on what's left over. So I know that's kind of a tough image to have in your mind, but ask yourself, are you a meat eater or are you a scavenger living on what's left over? So you want to have that kind of that meat eater attitude. You want to be aggressive. And I'm going to show you how to do that. And there's only seven things you have to do, but also keep in mind that you're going to be getting a lot of email. And you're going to be getting it for 13 weeks. 13 weeks every week, you get an email that has seven lessons on it, has audio on it, has PDF files you can download. But there's 90 very tested pieces of information that will help you skyrocket your learning curve. And it will if you apply some of those principles in there. They all go into seven categories in the end, but if you apply some of those principles in there, believe me, they will make a big difference. You might see some letters after my name, too. I don't want you to think I'm educated beyond my intelligence. So if you see some letters, there's one that's CMC. Now, I was doing a program for a group of dietitians one time. We have any dietitians in here? Just want to make sure before I say anything stupid. I was doing a program for them, and they were writing up my bio. And they says, well, do you have any letters after your name? You know, people think you're smarter if you have letters after your name. And I said, well, I says, no, at this time I'm really not certified for anything. She said, well, didn't you say you were a butcher? And I said, yeah, I'm a certified meat cutter. I mean, I went through a 3-year grueling apprenticeship program when I, first job I ever had, and it was tough. And I became certified by the union. I became a certified meat cutter. She said, well, then you're a CMC. And I said, well, yes, I am. So she put CMC after my name, and so ever since I had those letters, I feel smarter now. At least I got something. And a few years ago, the Speakers Association, they have a program that you can become a certified speaking professional, a CSP. And that takes 5 years to do that. You have to do 50 speeches a year for 5 years. You have to earn a certain amount of money. You have to have board members in your audience, and they have to watch you. You have to have a ton of testimonial letters. All your evaluation scores have to be 80 or above. And they have to look at all your demo material, everything. And you have to have the application is 50 pages alone. And so I decided to try to do that. So a few years ago, I achieved that, and I became a CSP. Now, there's only less than 500 in the whole world speakers are actually certified as a CSP, and that's less than 8%. So I'm looking down through this list of CSPs, and, I mean, they have doctors, lawyers, attorneys. They have CEOs of companies. They have really important people on this list. And I'm looking down through there, and I noticed that there wasn't one other meat cutter on this list. I'm the only person in the whole entire world that's a CMC, certified meat cutter, and a CSP, a certified speaking professional. So what that means is I am the only person in the whole entire world that is actually certified to butcher a good speech. And that kind of helps set me apart a little bit. When you want to become really good at something, you have to look at the basics. There are seven basic selling skills. And if you ever watched a meat cutter or a chef, you notice how they work. They'll be cutting, and every so often they'll take out their steel and they'll sharpen their knife. At the end of the day, you say, well, how many times did you do that? They say, well, I didn't know. It was a habit. I did it automatic. I didn't even know I did it. Well, if they didn't do that, their knife would be extremely dull at the end of the day, and they couldn't even work. Well, it's the same thing with us. Every time we come out of an account, all we have to do is ask ourselves seven questions. Did I have a plan going in there? Did I ask questions or did I do all the talking? Did I have a good attention getter? Did I go in there with something of real value? Did I make a good presentation? Did I overcome the objections? Did I close and did I follow up? And if you ask yourself those seven questions over and over and over again, and you do that for 21 days, it will become a habit. And it only takes 15 or 20 seconds. You might come out and say, boy, that guy gave me an objection, and I just didn't know how to handle that. I better get with my DSM or get with my trainer and see if I can figure out a way to overcome that objection, because there is an answer to it. Or I didn't really close that well. I could have asked him for the order a little bit, been a little bit more persuasive when I closed. And if you do that with those seven skills, and if you become brilliant at those seven skills, all of a sudden selling becomes a lot easier. There's no mystery to it.